appreciate the prayers that have gone before and ask that you continue to pray for the short time that we stand before you. I'm going to have a little bit shorter message this morning, Lord willing, and then follow up with a season of prayer specifically for Sister Catherine and Brother Jamie. Certainly others are welcome to offer their request, but want to have a specific prayer season for Jamie and Catherine. Sister Catherine has had very poor health for several years, and it was doubtful whether or not she would be able to even carry a child. And yet God has worked a miracle in the life of Sister Catherine, and not only blessed her to carry one child, but two children. And so it's just a miracle from the Lord, and she and Brother Jamie recognize that. And they're nearing the delivery time with a little bit of anxiety. One of the babies, Sister Catherine said Wednesday, is not turned the direction that he needs to be turned. And so she's a little concerned about that. And she said, that's the top of my prayer request, that the Lord will take care of that before the delivery. So we're going to have a little season of prayer at the end of this message this morning. Want to talk to you about a little lady's prayer. She's in 1 Samuel chapter 1. It's Hannah's prayer. Hannah's prayer. There's actually two prayers that Hannah prays. And we'll look at both of these prayers that are given. I expect her husband was a praying man because he had two wives at the same time. It doesn't say whether they lived under the same roof or not. But it does talk about some of the friction that went on between the two wives. Brother Mike Rogers preached a sermon on this several years ago, and I can tell you that it was a blessing. And he actually, because they're a little bit difficult to pronounce, he changed the names of some of the characters. So if I don't pronounce them correctly, then you just bear with me and hopefully you'll know who I'm talking about. Elkanah was the husband, and he had two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. And it says that Brother Mike said it's acceptable to change her name to Penny. That's better for me. I knew a Penny in West Texas. In fact, we had a grocery store named Henny Penny. And so I can remember Penny real well. So we'll just say Penny. You can pick a name if you want to. But Penny had several children. And Hannah, it says, had no children. And it says, and this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord. They actually had three times a year that they went and sacrificed. Sounds like some old Baptist. Three times a year is just about enough. But that's all that they had an opportunity to go up and worship together there, and they went up to offer a sacrifice. And it says that when they went, and you can read on down about the priest Eli and his two sons Hophni and Phinehas, and how that they were ungodly sons, and how that they brought shame upon their father. That's not the message of the thrust of this message. But it says that when the time that was come that Elkanah offered, he gave to Penny his wife and to all her sons and to her daughters portions. So as you can get sort of the picture here, as he was going up to offer at this sacrifice or have this feast, he provided for Penny and her children. But they weren't really the ones that he really, really strongly loved. The one that he really had a true affection for, and it was very clear, was Hannah. And no matter what their portion was that he offered and that he gave, For Penny and her children, he gave more to Hannah. And it was very noticeable when that would happen. In fact, you can compare it this way. He provided for Penny and her children. They were his, and he provided for them. When they went to the feast time, they got hamburgers. They got hamburger patties. When Hannah went, she got T-bone steak. It was noticeable. Hannah noticed it. Penny noticed it. Other folks that were around noticed it. But Penny got upset about it. Hannah was barren and without child. And so Penny began to walk around and she began to flaunt her children. And she began to make fun of and make light of Hannah. And it began to weigh heavy upon Hannah. You'll see the story, how it continues on. It says, "But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb," the womb of Hannah. Do you know why many of you here, how many of you here know Brother Zach Guess and his wife Judy and their, is it 12 children? How many here know the 12 children? There's a good many of you that know them. Did you know that, you know why his oldest daughter is named Hannah? Because Brother Zach says that for years, it seemed like that he and his wife were not going to be blessed with any children. They didn't start off having kids. And they weren't, it didn't appear that they were going to be blessed to have any children. And when they finally had a child, they named her Hannah. Now, since then, they've had 12. I believe 12 or 13 that God blessed them with. And it says, "And her adversary also provoked her sore to make her fret, because the Lord had shut her womb," her adversary. "And as he did year by year, went she in up to the house of the Lord, and she provoked her there, and therefore she wept and she did not eat." The sorrow of Hannah about her situation became so great that she even lost her appetite. She didn't even want to eat. She was had a heavy heart. And it comes down and it talks in the next verse. It says that Hannah rose up. They had eaten. She would not eat. The priest was there in the tabernacle and set by the post of the temple of the Lord. And it says that Hannah was so burdened down about this, and there had been no hope of any deliverance, that it says in verse 10 that she was even in bitterness of soul. Anybody here ever experienced bitterness of soul? It doesn't say that she was bitter against the Lord, but it does say that she prayed unto the Lord. Maybe she was in bitterness of soul because of the continual pestering that Penny gave her, the continual reminders that she would bring forth. But it says that her heart was heavy and she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed unto the Lord and she wept sore. Anybody ever been there that you're so burdened down that oftentimes maybe you don't even know what to say, but you do know where to go, and that's to the Lord. And it says that Hannah vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid, and if thou wilt remember me and forget not thine handmaid, but wilt thou give unto thine handmaid a man-child, and then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." She's fairly specific in her prayer. She says, "Lord, I not only want you to give me a child, but I want you to give me a man-child." But then she makes a vow. Now, we should be reminded that if we make a vow before the Lord, we need to remember to keep that vow before the Lord. And Hannah did. She said, if you'll give me a man-child, if you'll give me a man-child, then I'll give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come to his head. If you go back into Deuteronomy, that is the vow of a Nazarite, that his hair will not be cut, that he'll spend all of his days in the service and commitment to the Lord. And basically what she's saying right here is that as soon as this child is weaned, that she's going to take him up. And some say, well, that was 3 years of age. Some say 7 years of age. Some say 12 years of age. But whatever age it was that she did end up offering her child to the Lord, she never was around him again, except when she went up to worship in the temple of the Lord. She said, Lord, if you'll give me a man child, I'm going to turn right around and I'm going to give him back to you. Here's an Old Testament example of God hearing and answering prayer. I give you a modern day example. Sister Rebecca Huffman's husband has gone to be with the Lord. You know all three of her sons, Andrew, Justin, and Mark. She'll tell you that it was hard with three little boys. And she said, I raised those three boys not with provisions, not with an abundance of supplies, not with a whole lot of help, but I raised those three boys on prayer. Those of you that know those three boys, you know that God answered her prayer. All three of them, she gave back to the Lord. All three of them are preachers of the gospel in different areas of the country. She doesn't see them very often, but she rejoices in the Lord that what the Lord gave her, she gave back to Him. That's a modern day, the year 2014 example of what Hannah experienced here. It came to pass that she continued praying, and the priest Eli saw her praying. And it says that her heart was so heavy that she spake in her heart and she was moving her lips. Her heart was so heavy that her lips were moving, but nothing was coming out. And Eli thought, you ever have any vain imaginations? Even priests do that. Even preachers do that. Eli said, she is drunken. She's moving her mouth. Nothing's coming out. She doesn't look right. She doesn't look normal. She must be drunk. So Eli goes up to her, and Eli puts his hand on her mouth, and then he says to her, he says, how long wilt thou be drunken? He says, put away thy wine from thee. She was so burdened. Her burden was so heavy. It was so weighty. She was needing some help and deliverance so bad that her mouth was moving as she was praying mentally, but nothing was coming out. Her countenance was so sad and so different from what she normally would be that Eli thought that she was drunken. And he puts his hand on her mouth and he says, You need to stay away from the wine. Hannah answered and said, oh no, my Lord. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have neither drunk wine nor strong drink, but I have poured my soul out before the Lord. She said, I'm not drunk with wine. I haven't taken strong drink. She said, I have poured out my heart before the Lord. And then she says, count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. It was bad enough for a man or a male to be drunken, but it was horrible for a woman to be. And it was in the same category as adultery. That's how it was viewed in the olden times. And she says, don't count me as one of the ladies of Baal. Don't count me as a loose woman, as a woman that would be given to being drunk. She said, I'm of a sorrowful spirit. I have a burdened heart. My heart is heavy before the Lord. And she says, then Eli recognized that he was wrong. Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Now, I don't know if, I'm not sure how it happened here, but her heavy heart was relieved. As she was crying before the Lord, all of a sudden she felt a relief of the burden that she was carrying. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. Maybe you have a heavy heart, you have a burden that you take to the Lord, and you can almost mark it on the clock when the Lord blesses you with relief. You may not know if you're going to be delivered the way you expect, but you do know one thing, that everything's going to be all right. You do know that God's in control, that God's in charge, and whether He blesses me with a child or not, it's going to be okay. God can see the big picture, and I may not can see the big picture, and it'll be okay. So whatever happened, the priest acknowledged that he was also praying on her behalf. And he said, Eli answered and said, go in thy peace. The God of Israel grant thy petition that thou hast asked of him. I think probably it was some consolation to her that she knew now that Eli was even petitioning on her behalf. But something happened here, that there was a change in the life of Hannah. And somehow everything was going to be all right. And what a blessing it is when God grants us that. Those of you that have entered into seasons of prayer and fasting, when maybe there's an issue that's so big, it's bigger than you are, and you go before the Lord in prayer and fasting, and your heart is heavy, and then all of a sudden the Lord gives you a glimpse of deliverance, or a glimpse of hope, or a glimpse of things will be better. And all of a sudden that heavy burden is lifted from you. You know what I'm talking about. And that's exactly what Hannah, in her case, it was the situation with child. In your case, it may be something else. It could be something totally unrelated to Hannah's experience here. But you know what she's experiencing when God lifts your load. When you're blessed for Him to carry the heavy load and the heavy burden, and that weight is lifted from you. It also happens when we take our burdens to the Lord. We oftentimes try to pick them up, we try to carry them, we try to put them on our back, we try to fix things, we try to handle it, we try to make it right, and we realize that the problem and the burden is bigger than we are. And then when we finally get to the point that we realize that God did not create us to fix everything. God didn't create us to handle everything. God didn't create us to solve everything. But God did create us to take it to Him. Take it to the Lord. Is there anything in your life that you're carrying with you right now that you really just need to take to the throne of grace and leave it there? Now, I don't know if you're like me or not. Probably not. I hope not. But do you ever take anything to the throne of grace and leave it there? And then when you leave, you go back and get it? you think in my mind, I'm going to leave it with the Lord and I'm going to trust that He'll take care of it. But then you get to thinking the Lord needs some help and you go back and you get it again. We need to take it to the Lord and leave it there. Life's too short to try to carry it and bury it and fix it. Well, boy, this is so good. And it just gets better and better and better. I'm just going to take 5 minutes and try to touch on some of these other points right here. But it says that her husband came to her and knew her. And you can go back and read in Genesis 4 what that means. But he came to her and knew her, and she was with child. And it says she conceived and she bare a son, and his name was Samuel. And she named him Samuel because, she says, because I have asked him of the Lord. And it says that he went up again and he went to offer sacrifice, but Hannah stayed back this time. And she said, I'm not going up to offer sacrifice. I'm not going up to offer my son until he has been weaned. And then I'll take him and I'll offer him unto the Lord. And it comes on down and she says, for this child that I prayed, the Lord hath given me my petition that I've asked of him. Therefore, she says in verse 28, therefore also have I lent him unto the Lord as long as he liveth. You see, some of the vows of the servants of the Lord, their service was when they turned 25 years of age. And it lasted until they became old, and that was 50 years of age. Wow. That was their term, 25 years, from 25 to 50. But she says, I have lent him to the Lord for as long as he lives. As a child in his youth, as a young adult, as a grown man, and even as an old man, I am giving him to the Lord to be used of the Lord. The Lord gave him to me, and I'm lending him to the Lord. Hannah prayed, and so we saw the prayer that Hannah had in chapter 1. Her heart was heavy. She acknowledged that she had bitterness of soul. She acknowledged that she was weighted down. She was so burdened that she needed deliverance. And then you come down, and I'll briefly read chapter 2, a portion of Hannah's second prayer. Hannah's been blessed with child, and she this child that God gives her, she turns right around and gives it back to the Lord. She says, I'll raise it and I'll train it until the child is weaned. Some say 3, some say 7, some say 12. But whatever period that is, she gives it back to the Lord. And Hannah comes back and she offers another prayer. You ever experienced this, that God heard your prayer? We're using the example of Hannah right here. Your situation may be totally different than that of Hannah, but you may have a situation that you've had the same experience from. God heard Hannah's prayer. God blessed Hannah. God encouraged Hannah in her spirit. And then Hannah comes back and she prays a different prayer. Hannah comes back and she prays a prayer of thanksgiving. We need to be mindful to remember and thank God for what He's given us. Every one of us here have a whole lot to be thankful for. Every one of us here have a whole lot of blessings that we can offer unto the Lord. Satan wants to tell you what you don't have. Satan wants to tell you how you've been done wrong. Satan wants you to think on that, meditate upon that. But every one of us here have a whole lot to be thankful for. And every one of us here have blessings of thanksgivings that we ought to offer to the Lord. Hannah's prayer had been heard. Hannah's prayer had been answered. And she goes back before the Lord. And Hannah prayed and she said, my heart is rejoicing in the Lord. You ever experienced that? You've known that God touched your life, that God delivered you, that God encouraged you, and you were so encouraged that it didn't matter what was going on around you. You were above that because you knew that God had delivered you. My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. Some say that makes reference to the head being bowed low and her head was high, lifted up, not exalted in herself. And she said, my horn is exalted in the Lord. Hannah's not even saying, I'm exalted in my child. I'm exalted in my husband. I'm exalted in the provisions. She says, I am exalted in the Lord.
And every one of us here can be encouraged and exalted in the Lord. It doesn't matter what our trials and difficulties. It doesn't matter if we have no children, one children, 10 children, 12 children. We don't rejoice in what God's given us. We rejoice in the Lord. And that's what Hannah was doing. She says, I'm exalting in the Lord. She says, by the way, I'm so encouraged that I'm enlarged over my enemies. She comes down. She says, I'm rejoicing in thy salvation. She said, then she begins to declare, she says, there's none holy as the Lord, for there is none besides thee, neither is there any rock like our God. I tell you, you can claim that too. No matter what your situation is, you can claim exactly the same prayer that Hannah prayed. She said, there's none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. There is not any rock like our God. She said, don't you talk more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. She comes on down, and this whole chapter is great. 1 Samuel chapter 2, encourage you to go home and read it. But I'm just going to touch on a couple more right here. It says, the Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and He lifteth up. She says, God is in charge. She said, the Lord even raiseth the poor out of the dust. She said, I was pretty low. She said, He raiseth the poor out of the dust, and He lifteth up the beggar out of the dunghill. Maybe you've never been there. Maybe you've not ever gotten that low. Maybe you've not ever hit rock bottom. Maybe you've not ever come to the end of yourself. But if you ever have, you know what she's talking about. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. He lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill. He doesn't leave us there. He doesn't leave us to our own demise, to our own accomplishments. But He lifts us up. She says, He lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princesses and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven He shall thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and He shall give strength unto His king and exalt the horn, or lift up or encourage His people or His anointed. Hannah took her problem the only place that she could. She took it to the Lord. Every one of us here, our problems are different. But your problem to you may be just as big as Hannah's was to her. That's only one example. But you can't go wrong taking it to the Lord. Hannah didn't even know what to pray for. She couldn't even get the words out audibly. But it was the burden of her heart. She went before the Lord. And then Hannah rejoiced that God heard her. She didn't know how He would deliver her, but she knew one thing, that with God, everything would be all right. If we could just be reminded and encouraged in that. We've got folks among us that some have some pretty bleak diagnosis from doctors as far as spending many years upon this earth. But you know, what matters is that God's going to be there with us. I mentioned to you, when Brother Cook got to his lowest, he said, "Do you think the Lord has forgot about me?"
Oh, Brother Cook, the Lord doesn't forget about us. He knows where His people are, and He knows who they are. And He provides for us. And He holds us up. Let's remember to take our burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And then when God delivers you, you run back to the Lord and you do like Hannah did and you offer a prayer of thanksgiving. Be thankful. May God bless you.